Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And wherever you are, go ahead and share tonight's episode with someone, with a friend. And if you're driving in your car, let someone know where they can hear TMG.
It's time to get on board. TMG is taking off.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good.
Hi, everybody! Welcome to a brand new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Real quick, guys, do me a favor before we get started. You know how I like to do it. Guys, do me a favor. Don't forget to share, subscribe, and like to our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, today's episode is absolutely amazing. It's incredible. And I know you're probably wondering, Travis, what are you talking about today? Don't worry, guys. We're going to dive right into it. But let me first start off by saying thank you to everyone that is listening. Thank you to everyone that is watching all around the world. And whether this is your first time tuning in, maybe you're in China, maybe you're in Portugal, maybe you're in Spain or Mexico, or maybe you're in Vietnam or Canada or the UK or Australia or South Africa. Wherever you are listening and watching the show today, let me take this moment and take this opportunity to let you know I appreciate you and thank you so much. You said, well, Travis, man, I've been watching your show ever since you've been streaming. I've been listening since the first time you clicked it. Thank you very much for your continued support. I'm so glad that you're here and you continue to watch and listen to the show. Guys, I want to go ahead, get some stuff out the way because this episode is going to be good. This is one of those episodes that I'm glad I shared that. Everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to share and maybe come on a show, drop us an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And you say, Travis, I know someone that has an interesting story, and they would be a great guest on your show, but I don't want to come on a show. Send us their information anyhow at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And listen, you can send in that information, and guess what? You can even remain anonymous if you like. There you go, at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. Guys, listen, if you look behind me, you see some information. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I want to share some information with you guys before we get into it. This is taken from the National Breast Cancer Awareness website, National Breast Cancer website. 1 in 8 women in the United States will be diagnosed with breast cancer in her lifetime. In 2024, an estimated 310,720 women and 2,800 men will be diagnosed with invasive breast cancer. Chances are, with those numbers that high, chances are you know at least one person who has been personally affected by breast cancer. But guess what? There is hope. When caught in its earliest localized stages, the 5-year relative survival rate is 99%. Yeah, so early detection is the key. Get yourself checked out, guys. For more information, guys, please visit the information that's on your screen right there from the National Breast Cancer Foundation, www.nationalbreastcancer.org. Guys, I'm going to play some information from our affiliate sponsors. Once I play that, we're going to come back and we're going to dive into this, because this is the episode that you've been waiting to hear. Don't go nowhere. I'm coming back. Y'all come on in here. We just getting started.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link bit.ly/tellmesomething21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online, sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed, sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way.
There it is, guys, right there. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. The information is in the chat. And if you're not watching this, then listen up, because that information will be provided for you so that you can have it. Guys, I know you have been waiting on pins and needles to find out what we're talking about this week. But if you have not caught what today's topic is, it's called bent out of shape. Yeah, just kind of bent out of shape. And when you think of being bent out of shape, you kind of think of emotions, and you think of things going left, as they say. You think of things not going the way you expected, and they seem to just get you bent out of shape. Guys, our emotions are something that's difficult to run away from. Our moods and our emotions, they correlate with one another. Usually, if you are in a good mood, then your emotions will be positive and high. And if you are in a bad mood, then your emotions would be kind of negative, so to speak, or kind of lean toward the negative. But our emotions are difficult to escape. And our moods, they change and they can vary for various reasons. Let me ask everybody this question. What mood are you in? Yeah, right now that you're listening and you're watching this, what mood are you in? Usually, one of the first things people notice about us is our moods, not how talented we are, not our hair, not our clothes. When the first thing people notice about us, or when the last things people remember about us, is our mood. What puts you in a good mood? Let me ask you that. What puts you in a good mood? Type it in chat. Tell me what puts you in a good mood. Hearing good news? Okay, that's one. Okay, getting more money. You got a raise. Yeah, that'll put me in a good mood too. What? Getting your favorite food, your favorite people coming around. So what puts you in a good mood? Okay, let me ask you this. What puts you in a bad mood? The wrong people coming around to the party. Right. What puts you in a bad mood? Most of us can decide the moods that we want to display. Yeah, most of us can decide the moods we want to display. Most of us can. But there is a percentage of our society who deal with a mood change disorder who don't get that choice. In fact, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, an estimated 9.7% of U.S. adults had any mood disorder in the past year. That's right. And this is very recent. This number was higher for females at 11.6% than for males at 7.7%. And also, guys, get this. An estimated 21.4% of U.S. adults experience any mood disorder at some time in their lives. But what are mood disorders? What are they? And how can they be recognized? And who's at risk? I wonder who's at risk? And what are some ways to support those who face them daily? Guys, listen, today's very special guest is here today to answer these questions and provide a unique experience to look into mood disorders. Guys, do me a favor. Give a huge TMG welcome for Jennifer Sullivan. What's up, Jen? How you doing?
Yo, yo. How's it going?
I'm great, Jen. I already told you what I ate.
I can totally tell that about you. I see your mood.
See? Jen and I had a conversation before the show, guys, and I told Jennifer I was eating some cotton candy, a lot of cotton candy. And I don't really need that much sugar, but it's too late.
Already too done. Late, Jennifer. Done.
I know. It's already done. Jennifer, let me say this to you. I'm so happy that you decided to be a part of the show to discuss this very important situation, this very important subject and topic. I don't think it gets discussed enough. I don't think enough light is brought to it. And I'm so glad that you are here with us today, Jen. I am. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Guys, this is going to be good. Jennifer, I know that you do a lot. I know the topic of mood disorders is significant in our society today because of the rise of attention to mental illness. We had people who sat out of the Olympics a few years ago because of mental illness and because of things that was going on. The mood wasn't for them. It set their mood wrong. It set their mood wrong. And because it set their mood wrong, their emotions were wrong. And mentally, they had distracted from something that they were passionate about. And that's amazing to think that my mood can set me back from things that I'm passionate about, things that you always do, you always have fire about,
You always, man, I'm almost excited to do that, but the mood that you have can set back from what you feel that you're passionate about. So I know that mood disorders are important, Jen, because of that, because of the rise of mental illness that's given by certain individuals. How long has this been a passion of yours to help bring this to the forefront?
It's been a number of years now. My expertise here is that I suffer, or I am challenged with mood disorders. And once I sort of started coming out of it, we're talking several, so not just one, but once I started coming out of my depression, I started, like, it's the worst thing ever. You can't have any quality of life at all. So I just don't want people to feel this way. So when I started to find my way out of it, I wanted to share that with people, and not only share it with people, like that's the first rung of it, but also share it with not just people who have mood disorders, but other people who don't understand mood disorders. We have to bring more awareness to this, because not having awareness on this makes the problem so much worse.
Absolutely. And I understand, because what happens, Jennifer, is this. Because we don't understand it, because the general public or general public and general society doesn't understand it, it gets swept under the rug, because it's not as flamboyant. And I want to use that word. It's not as flamboyant as someone who has another more acceptable condition or acceptable diagnosis, I say. And we could see someone who, let's say, breast cancer. And I'm not making a knock on breast cancer. I'm just saying that it seems to be an acceptable diagnosis. But you say someone who has a mood disorder and they've been diagnosed with a mood disorder, they say, oh, that's probably their fault. Oh, that's something they did. You know, oh, they just need to do better. And oh, if they just stop this, then they'll get better. If they just stop this, they'll do better. Did you get a lot of it's your fault? If you just stop this, you'll be better?
Your fault is implied. I don't know that anybody said it's your fault, but like it's definitely there. You know, the thing about it is that people don't give it the credit it's due. It's an invisible disability kind of thing. People can't see it. It's not like you go in and you get MRIs and you can see this spot on your brain. It's a disorder that happens because of chemicals in your brains, as well as how that interacts with your environment, how you were personally wired. But people who don't get it, don't get it. And if what I run into is people who think that just put it down. You're just being a downer. You're like Eeyore.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's like, you're doing so much damage by saying those things because you have a group of people who already, hate themselves. They're ashamed of themselves. They're horrified with themselves. And that's why they have like these problems. And then now you're telling them that it's their fault and that they should be ashamed of themselves for feeling this way.
Right,
and they don't actually have a problem, that they should just be able to just snap out of it. And it's like, dude.
and that's the main thing right there. That whole snap out of it. You should be able to snap out of that. Or let me just say a couple positive things to you, and that should snap you out of it. And here you are, all bent out of shape with your emotions and how you're feeling. And there's nothing more frustrating to be frustrated about something and you don't know why. There's nothing more frustrating to be depressed about something and you can't put your finger on it. And people think, Jennifer, people think it's all emotional. And you'll see later on as we talk about this, it's not all emotions. It's not all the emotions. And we just kind of put people. So you've been passionate about this because, it's been something that you had to work through personally. And as you walk through that, you educated yourself through it. And so you're just trying to make sure that everyone else gets educated about it, because chances are, Jennifer, guess what? I promise you, Jennifer, there's someone listening right now. There is someone watching right now that knows someone that has a mood disorder. And they're saying, what is a mood disorder, Travis? I don't know what you're talking about. We'll go into that. But chances are, Jennifer, there's someone watching that knows somebody. Exactly. And they know somebody, Jennifer, who every time they talk to them, they seem to always to be out of sorts. They're always bent out of shape. Everybody. Mm-hmm. You know it. You know it. I know it. Now, unlike, and I'm going to bring this point up because I have to draw the distinction between emotions and mood. Even though they correlate, they're not the same. And I had to draw that distinction because a lot of times people will say somebody is just in their feelings and they're just moody, right? So I want to draw a quick distinction. I got this from the Mayo Clinic, by the way. I didn't make this up. I got this from the Mayo Clinic.
I hope not.
Right? Unlike an emotional response, moods aren't triggered. See, you can trigger an emotion. You can do something. I can scare you. And you're scared. And it's gone. It's over with and it's gone. Once that feeling of fear, that initial feeling of fear is there, has been triggered, it's gone, it's past. It's over with. Or it could be an emotion of sadness or emotion of happiness. Once that's gone, it's there. Emotions are fickle. They'll come and go depending on the trigger, the trend, depending on what's triggering. Emotions are like that. Moods, on the other hand, are something totally different. Unlike an emotional response, moods aren't triggered. Nothing triggers your mood. See, an emotion is pointed at a specific thing. A mood is not. It's not pointed at a specific thing. What that really means is, which means someone with a mood disorder can begin experiencing the effects of this mood disorder without them even being aware that they are. Someone who has bipolar mood disorder, they could begin experiencing that and not realize it. Someone who has depression can begin experiencing that mood without even knowing it. Someone who's experiencing other disorders, mood disorders, can be experiencing those things and not even aware of it. But you are aware of emotions. You can see when someone's happy. You can see when someone's angry, but someone can be sitting right there watching television, and 5 minutes before they know it, something can happen. Jennifer, have you ever experienced, in your experiences with this, has this ever been the case with you as well?
Being triggered by an emotion, or
just having your mood change. You know, you said you had to walk through depression. Has there ever been moments where you had to walk and you didn't realize you had that mood had changed? A party is going all around you. You had no idea that your mood had changed, and someone had to come say, "Hey, Jennifer, are you okay?"
I'd like to start by saying, I haven't walked through depression. I am walking through depression. These are personal growth and personal development things are things you do for a lifetime. And I try and do this with people I have a show, and show them exactly like the choices that they have. But as far as a mood change, yes, I actually have, I have bipolar 2. Disorder, and that means that I go from what they call hypomanic, not hypermanic, but hypomanic, which is like a euphoric state that you're really energized and kind of doing a million things, and then you go down to depression, which is you do nothing and you stay in bed. The thing about it was interesting what you said about moods, kind of not even realizing that you are. You're coming into a mood or a mood is coming on, because that is very true of mood disorders. As you, they're something that develops. They're not something that just happens overnight. And that means that over time they become your norm. So you don't even realize that that's what's going on a lot of the time. People do ask if you're okay. It's such a complicated thing. But as you go through these things, the thing that the all right, so with a mood disorder, let's take generalized anxiety, which is another thing that I have. generalized anxiety means you're anxious all the time. Right. And what that means is, like, imagine being as worried as you've been, only that's all the time and you don't know why.
Wow.
The feeling is you're like, something is going wrong. Something is desperately wrong and it's going to affect everything. And it's like, the world is ending. I just don't know how or when, but it's coming and I just have to be on alert for it for all the time. That's what it feels like. And yeah, it's not something, unless it's called to your attention, that you realize that's happening, because it's just how you're feeling.
Right, you know? Right. It's your normal, and you because it's your normal, it's an individual's normal, it's not out of the normal, so you can't, it's hard for you to recognize and say, oh wait, let me readjust, let me recenter myself, you don't know, you can't tell. And I would wager, right, if I were a betting man, Jennifer, there are people right now who are experiencing this right now, the things that you mentioned, right now, and we all know that family member. We all know that, or that friend, or that relative, or that coworker, who always seem to be bent out of shape. We all know him, Jennifer, and we don't like to talk about him. Oh, that's just Uncle Bob. You know, Uncle, he's always this. Or that's Auntie Sheila. Man, I tell you, she's always depressed. I don't know why. And no one stops to ask why.
That's a complicated thing. Because depression, it's not like it's a cold. You know what I mean?
There you go. I like
it's not
that.
Something you catch. It's not something that develops independently.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with how you're wired. Number one, your genetic proclivity and the environment that you've grown up in, and how that predisposes you to your brain working in a certain way.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
And what happens there is, what's going on in your brain, number one, is there's a lack of certain chemicals. They're called neurotransmitters, and they're what give you the happy feeling, serotonin, dopamine.
There you go.
Those things. When you're depressed, those things are not there. Well, technically they're there. They're just not what's called, they don't reuptake as quickly as they're supposed to. They're not sucked back into the neuron and then expelled the way they're supposed to be. So the sum total is you don't get enough of them. You don't get the effect of them. And the other thing that happens is that your thoughts spin, and a certain thought will happen again and again and again, right? It's a repeating thought. And this actually wears a track in your brain.
It's a groove.
It's a groove. It's how the electricity follows through your brain. And it goes the same way. So even when you become aware of it, it's not like you can just go, I get it. It's like, it's so a frustrating moment. You're like, oh, I get it. But it's still there. There's nothing. It feels like there's nothing you can do about it. But I mean, because of that, it's a well-worn path, and it's like going into the woods and there's a path. Are you going to take a machete and you're going to cut through the brush? Or if there's a path, are you going to go down that?
It's going to take the path.
You're going to go the place of least resistance.
Exactly. Right?
That's what the electricity in your brain is doing. And those are the thoughts that you keep having. And the only way to get out of that, I personally am at a cocktail of medications just to get me to the point where I could actually work.
Right.
In these things. But it's a concerted effort. You don't just snap out of it. You don't just come out of it. It's like, excuse me. I'm from Boston. We swear a lot. Today, so I apologize for my potty mouth, but, you have to make an effort, and not just one time, again and again and again, every 5 seconds, sometimes every 2 seconds, every millisecond, sometimes, just to change the way that you're thinking.
Correct. You have to put in some effort, some conscious effort, into it once you are aware. Once you are aware of it. And again, I know, Jen, that there are people right listening who aren't aware. And who aren't aware. But they do know they're family members. And you wonder why your family members is always feeling a certain way, always doing certain things. And it's that groove. And let me help you guys out. So you say, well, I'm Travis. I'm healthy. I don't have nothing like that, no grooves in my head. Let me help you out. If you have what they call a habit is a behavior. Mm-hmm. A habit is a learned behavior. If you have a learned behavior, if you have a habit, and you say, and you can kind of do that thing without thinking, and you say, oh, yeah, that's muscle memory. No, it's not muscle memory. You have worn a groove in your brain so that when certain things are present, your brain automatically does it. And you wonder why you can just reach for your pen over here without looking. You wonder why you can, something practical. I could never learn how to type without looking at the keyboard. Still, I have to look at the keyboard to type. There are people who can look at everything and type without looking at the keyboard. Mm-hmm. Because you've done it so many times, you've worn a groove in your brain. Your brain learns and knows what those keys are. And because of that, you can look at TV and not miss a beat typing. I have to look. Me, I got to look at A, B. I have to do that, Jennifer. That groove is not completely there for me.
I had to learn typing back when we had typewriters. You remember
that? Exactly. Okay, so you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, exactly. God, yeah.
So to all those who may be saying that's not the case with them, if you have any behavior or habit, it's the same thing. A groove has been worn in your mind. That individual that you see that's always depressed, that groove has been worn in their mind, and their mind is taken into that path of least resistance, that path that has been worn in their mind. So we had to draw that distinction between emotions and mood, because we always say somebody's just in their feelings. They just in their feelings. And they just, and it's not a feeling, it is a mood. Another thing about an emotion doesn't last. It's gone. But a mood can last for days and weeks and months. And so individuals who are diagnosed with mood disorders, they can be in that mood for days and weeks and months long after the emotion is gone, that mood keeps them bent out of shape, Jennifer.
Yeah.
And they just still bent out of shape. I got you. So that being said, are there any contributing factors that can increase the number of mood disorders that we see? Are there anything that contribute for this, like this, let's say, lack of access to better health care, early detection, hereditary? Is there any kind of contributing factors like that that can help increase the number that we see? Given those numbers that we heard at the beginning, are there some contributing factors to things like this?
I mean, absolutely. There's mood disorders are all about contributing factors.
Oh, wow. You
know? Like, they, I mean, because it's such a complicated thing. It's like we're saying, it's genetics, it's environment. If you start, early detection is almost impossible because it's a mood.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Right? Like, it's, you're like, oh, I'm in a bad mood. And then it just persists. And like we were saying earlier, it becomes just your normal. So it's hard to detect. When there's not a lot of awareness, people, we were saying earlier, people will blame you. People will invalidate these things. So you made to feel even worse. And that contributes to it, definitely. If you don't have access to healthcare, that will make it worse. There's a lot of times, a lot of cultures, with men especially, you're not allowed to have feelings or express feelings that are, especially if they're like kind of depressed feelings or sad feelings, you know, you're kind of discouraged from expressing yourself. That is a contributing factor. Yeah, there's a million different things that come into play.
Wow. And I was unaware that, you know, there was no way to do any early detection on that. And I guess you think about that, I guess there is not one, because it's a mood. Well, I mean, I guess there may be some maybe genetic characteristics that they could look at.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's certain genetic tendencies that run in families, definitely. Mental Correct. Health is definitely a thing. But also what I have seen is there are people who kind of, I had depressive tendencies since I was like a kid, so it was not abnormal for me. And I only realized that I was feeling that badly when I stopped feeling that badly. And
oh, wow.
Like, oh shit, that was horrible.
I didn't realize I was that way.
Yeah, I didn't realize that I was like the feelings that I was having were that awful. I mean, like they were just normal. But then you get better and you're like, that was bad. You know what I mean? That was really bad.
What was that?
Out of it. You know, you're still not out of it. You're still at a
right, low right. Place, but you're getting fast. Ahead of it. You're getting ahead of it. Right.
Yeah. There are people who it's kind of situational. They can become situationally depressed, and that can last for a while. It's easier to detect that because they notice a difference.
Whereas
like when you've just sort of got it, it's just become such a normal thing. You know, I mean, like you come home from work, you go to bed and you don't want to get out of bed and you're asleep and you get up and, like, the next morning to go to work and you're like, I don't want to get up ever. But you know, you have to.
Yeah. So. And it's I'm glad you mentioned that there are sometimes some people who are situationally, and different things. I'm gonna put this information in the chat. It's called seasonal affective disorder.
Oh, yes, yes. So sad. That's a great one.
Yeah.
I live in Boston. It's fantastic.
It's that it occurs at certain times of the year, typically with a change of season. And you know how sometimes people around certain times of year, around the holidays, birthdays, or just the change in season would be spring and fall. No, the seasonal changes, just regular seasonal changes can impact a person. And you say, man, why is it every time around the fall? I don't know why I feel so, you know.
Sunshine.
Yeah.
And sunlight. Lack of sunlight.
Yep.
Vitamin D. It's like, it affects some people. I personally am much better if I have like a, you know, there are light bulbs that give off like a sunlight kind of, you know, spectrum, and you feel better with those on. And it's literally a physical reaction to lack of sunlight. And that's why in Boston, when it starts to become spring, you're like, oh my God, it's like the birds are singing.
Oh yeah, yeah, you start.
Angels are there. You're like,
your mood picks up, and you're gonna go to dancing and jumping around the house, and you get energized, and you know, you be energized, you be ready to go, all those different things. And I was looking at some of the things that you mentioned earlier about individuals who go from an extreme high to an extreme low. There's one called cyclothymia, C-Y-C-L-O-T-H-Y-M-I-A, cyclothymia, features shifts from emotional highs to emotional lows that can affect a person's ability to function. It says the emotional ups and downs are not as extreme as those with bipolar 1 or 2, but you up and down, again, you're still bent out of shape. And there are people who we know, they go from highs and lows. 1 minute, they're extremely excited and happy. And the next minute, they're way down here. And what we do, here's what we do. What we do, we say, man, they're a very moody person. Something must be wrong with them. And we shame them into not getting help. We shame them into not saying, hey, there's nothing wrong with you. This is how your mind is processing information. Yes. Gather what you need. We would rather shame a person who has an issue or a mood disorder than to say, hey, look, go get some help for that. You know, maybe you should look into the help. A person breaks their arm. We don't say, oh, man, you're an idiot. You broke your arm. Ah, blah, blah. Walk it off. You'll be okay. No. Go to the doctor. Get your cast. Take the medicine. But someone who has this illness, this disorder, rather, that's occurring in their mind, we will shame them into that. And because of the stigma, that gets stuck onto it like a sticker, it's difficult for them, and it makes that road to recovery that much more difficult, and it makes it much longer than it need to be. You're getting ahead of what you're dealing with, but Jennifer, there are people right now who aren't ahead of this. There are people who are afraid to talk about it, afraid to even look at it. There are people in your family, people in we know. Let's not play. We got people in our family, friends that we know. We got that person that we know something is wrong with them. You know something wrong with them? Quit playing. And we're afraid to talk about it, Jennifer, because we don't want to tell nobody that little hush secret.
It could, because we're shamed.
That's it.
You know, and it's so damaging, because one of the most important things, if you're going to work on getting better, is to have a support system.
Correct.
Who are not, you're wrong. You're, you know, just snap out of it or whatever.
Come out of that. What are you doing?
What are you doing? Just get out of bed. Like, that's not how it works. You can't make someone feel better
I want to get out of this bed.
How horrible they are. You know? But you need a support system coming out of these things. You need people in your corner.
You could, guys, let me tell you something. You can never underestimate someone in your corner. You can never underestimate someone rooting for you. And I want you to understand this. Think about an athlete. Think about an athlete, whether they're playing basketball, football, soccer, it doesn't matter. Whichever sport they're playing, they're still going to make whatever amount of money their contract says they're going to make. If they're going to make $45 million a year, they're still going to make $45 million a year, period. But if you ask that athlete who's making $45 million a year, if you ask them, does it matter if the fans come to the stand? They're going to tell you, yes, it matters to have someone in those stands cheering us on. You can ask an athlete who just won any major game or any sporting event. The first thing they're going to say after they thank their mom and after they thank their coaches, they're going to say, they're going to look up and say, and I want to thank all of these wonderful fans for coming out here today. They still got paid $45 million.
And they still needed the support.
But they need that support. And let me say this to you. Let me just go ahead and say this to you, Jennifer, and to everybody that's listening. I'm sorry that nobody gave you the support that you really needed. I'm sorry that nobody really patted you on the back when you really needed. When you needed someone to cheer for you, I'm sorry you didn't have people cheering for you. But I've learned one thing, Jennifer. I knew a lot of friends who were cheerleaders. And what they did, Jennifer, was this. In order to get the crowd to start cheering, they had to start cheering first. Yep. So what you have to do is start cheering for yourself before you get them on your side. Go ahead and clap your hands for yourself. Pat yourself on your back. Sometimes you have to become the first cheerleader before somebody else joins in.
I will say that's a very difficult thing when you hate yourself and you don't think you deserve anything.
Say it.
The thing is, it is a choice. It is a choice. You can choose different ways. And that's something that I try and focus on and show people in the work that I do, the show that I have. I try and show them, like, look, you can react. You're not your thoughts. You're not your feelings. You can react to them in a different way. It takes some work.
Exactly.
And again, also, if you try and if you're waiting to be happy until when everything on the outside is exactly the way you want it in the inside, you're never going to be happy.
Never.
So you
never
have to find the way to be happy in and of yourself. If you don't have a support system, that sucks. It makes it harder. But there is a way to go to dig down.
Exactly.
First, to forgive yourself, because that's the hardest thing.
That's the first hardest thing to do.
It's the hardest thing.
Your fault. It's not your fault you're this way. Don't blame yourself.
But coming from that, like, you really, when you're depressed, you hate yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You hate your very existence.
You don't think you deserve to get out of it. So you don't even try. You know,
it's not only do you see it as a punishment, you see it as this is all you're good for.
Yeah, this is what I deserve.
I deserve this. I deserve to feel bad. I deserve to feel the way that I'm feeling. I deserve to have this happening to me. And you do not.
No,
you absolutely.
No one does. No one deserves that. But it's hard when you believe that you do. I mean, like, I know personally from my own experience, there are some choices, some things I did in my life that screwed my life up. It was self-sabotage. Mm-hmm. And, I built some opportunities for myself and I screwed them all up. And that threw me. That was my last spiral that I went down in. And I was down for over a decade.
Oh, I understand.
You know what I mean? And it's because I'm like, you screwed this up. I can't believe you did this.
I can't believe you missed this opportunity. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Man,
why didn't you go do this? You just had to do that and you didn't do that, or you said this and that was so stupid. And that's all you think about.
That groove gets worn in.
Yeah.
That groove gets worn in. I tell people this. It is our biggest fight is not with the things we've done. Our biggest fight are with the voices we hear.
Yes.
is what we tell ours. It's the first thing you tell yourself when you get out the bed. It's the first thing you tell yourself when you make a mistake. It's the first thing you tell yourself when there's a failure. It's the first thing you tell yourself when things don't go the way you want them to go. What is the first conversation that you have with yourself? What is that conversation like? And because of that conversation, Jen, we wear that groove. We wearing that groove.
Yeah.
We wearing that groove. We wearing it down. And it becomes so much easier for us to get bent out of shape.
Yeah.
It does. Let me ask you a question. So there is obviously, we just pointed out this obvious correlation between a person's mood and their emotions. So they kind of correlate. You're in a good mood. That means you're thinking positive. Your emotions are way up there. You're in a good mood. You're celebrating. You clap your hands. Woo! Yeah. But that's obvious correlation between those two things. Why do we seem like we rely so heavily on our emotions during decision makings? Because a lot of times we make decisions from our emotions. We make those decisions from, why do we lean so heavily? Like, man, if we know our emotions are fickle, why do we seem to rely so heavily on those things?
There are a couple of things there. Number one, there isn't a decision that we make that's not based in an emotion. There isn't. I mean, even if we think we're doing it logically,
yeah, it's still an emotion there.
There's an emotion.
The underlying is there's an emotion there.
There's an emotion, and that's the way, that's the choice you're going to make. The key is to make sure that the emotion that you're feeling isn't something that's panicked.
Right, right. Exactly.
Something that's completely not, you know, not grounded.
Correct.
You have to be grounded, you know what I mean? And make intelligent decisions, and informed decisions. But everything, right, every choice that's made is made out of an emotion. That's just how
and here's what I tell people. It's either an emotion you want to experience or an emotion you don't want to experience. Mm-hmm. So every decision is made out of an emotion, but it's the emotion you don't want to have or the one you do want to have.
And when you're in an emotion that you don't want to have and your decisions are based on, I want to be the hell out of this emotion, those are the worst decisions you can make. Because you're desperate. You don't want to feel this way. It feels like death. You feel like you're dying. Your body, you logically know you're not, but inside it's like we evolved to be like, there's a tiger, run away from the tiger. But there are no tigers in our lives now. So we just have this constant feeling. And if you're going to make your decision based on like, I want to be away from this feeling that makes me feel like I'm going to die, you're not going to make a good decision. Don't do anything. Don't call anybody. Don't text anybody. Don't make any big decisions that are going to affect your life. Don't do it.
Let it go. Don't. Whatever you can, walk away from it. Call an accountability partner. Call someone on your support team. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about, guys, being bent out of shape. A lot of times when things are bent out of shape, it is not its fault. It's not their fault. I can get this piece of paper here. Guys, I have a piece of paper. And I can take it and I can bend it like this. But the paper didn't bend itself.
Right.
I bent the paper. So most people that are dealing with mood disorders, they didn't bend themselves. Something else did. And we had to try to educate ourselves and support them to help get them unbent like that as much as we can. And it may not all the creases might not come out, but you know what? Enough can come out where you can write on it now.
Yeah.
Enough can come out where it can be used now. Enough can come out where they can see, hey, something is different about myself. I'm not what I used to believe about myself. Because chances are, the things that we used to believe about ourselves, all those negative things, they're all lies anyhow. Most of the negative things you believed about yourself up to this point, I guarantee you, it's all lies anyway. None of it's true.
You will find any way possible to not just believe them, but like you give yourself reasons. When you're in this, you're really good at rationalizing the way that you feel. And the thoughts that you have, you're like, no. Okay. Clearly you don't understand here. I'm a horrible person and here are the reasons and I don't deserve to be, you know, it's
Oh, That was me.
100% believe that.
That was me. If people look at me now, listen to me now, they go, Travis, there's no way. That was me years ago. I tell people, I said, I used to really hate, and I mean not dislike, I used to really hate my own reflection. I would try to avoid mirrors. I hated it because I said I really did not like Travis Ray Patton at all. And for the very fact that I'm sitting there, I could say my whole name, Travis Ray Patton, I never liked saying my entire name because I didn't think anything good was associated with that name. And I came to a point, I said to myself, I do not want to believe another negative thing about myself. I will not believe that. I will not accept that about myself. And I was talking to my therapist, and when the first thing my therapist and I talked about, we talked about self-worth and self-value. And she said, why don't you feel you deserve? Why do you feel you deserve every negative thing that ever happened to your life? Why do you feel that way? She was trying to fill in that groove that I had made. She was filling in that groove for me. And by the end of the week, I told her, I said, I used to walk into a room, I felt like I was always the most unimportant person in the room. And I said, now when I walk into a room, I feel very confident. She said, why? I realized something, because she gave me this exercise to do. I said, I realized when I walk into a room, and this is my secret. I'm going to give you guys my secret, okay? When I walk into a room or whenever I do anything, I always have three people that always support me. Me, myself, and I. They're always there patting me on the back. They're always there encouraging me. They're always there saying, you can do this. So for everybody out there who felt like you can't take another step in life, take another step. For everybody out there who was a Jennifer, who was a Travis, and you're still working through things or you've had different things, take another step. You have three people, me, myself, and I. Those three people are always with you. You can never escape yourself. You can't get away from yourself if you try to get away from yourself.
No.
So you may as well enjoy your company, Jennifer. You can't get away from you, so you may as well enjoy. And I had to come to that point, and it took over time and time and time, and you realize, man, I'm not as bad as I thought I was. And you'll have those days, Jennifer, people with mood disorders, they'll have those moods in those days where they're feeling great. We just talked about that. They'll be on top of the mountain, and then they'll be at the bottom of the mountain. They'll be in the middle of their climb. And I get it. There are some people right now who are in the middle of their climb, Jennifer, but you are proof that we can stay steady in this thing that we're doing.
We can keep at it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think one of the things that really kind of helped me was to imagine saying the things I say to myself in my, or I said to myself in my head to someone else.
Yeah. And see?
I wouldn't say that to my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
Exactly.
Like, what the hell am I doing saying this to myself? Like, you have to, at a certain point, no matter how bad you think you are, if you think about it this way, you have to admit, like, no one deserves what you're doing to yourself. You know? No one deserves to be told these awful things. And when you can kind of take a step back and think, okay, if my friend, if a good friend of mine was thinking these things about herself, what would I be doing for her? What would I be, you know, how would I be supporting her? And it is about cheering yourself on, you know, it is about being, you know, celebrating every little win. You know, like one of my most concrete examples is going to the gym. And for me, I don't think this is like uncommon. I'm not a huge fan of actually feeling physically challenged. I'm like, this is hard. But if I'm saying to myself, even though it's kind of ridiculous and I'm laughing, I'm saying, you got this. You're so good. Oh my God, you're a beast. You're a beast. Like, if you just keep talking to yourself like that, even though it's kind of ridiculous, and I mean, almost because it's kind of ridiculous and you find yourself laughing, but if you keep saying these things, they do get in your head. Because if you realize it, the reason that you're thinking the way that you think is because you keep saying these things to yourself. So if you change the things that you're saying, eventually things will change.
I love that. See, I told you guys, and Jennifer, I'm a big firm believer of positive confession. And I'm not saying it's magic, but I am saying what it is this. you are creating a different groove in your brain.
And you
keep bringing those affirmations into your mind. And I learned this a long time ago, Jennifer. We believe more of what we say about ourselves and to ourselves than anybody else. I don't care who it is. But we believe it anyway. And if I believe that, if I'm going to be the one who believes more about what I say to myself, I may as well just go ahead and say something good. I may as well say something good. If I'm going to believe it anyway, I might as well make it good.
Well, even if you can't believe it at this moment, like,
oh yeah, yeah, keep saying it.
Even if you're like, that's such bullshit.
Just keep saying it. One day you're gonna be like, maybe. I did it.
Yeah, wow. Maybe that's true.
You never know.
Yeah,
I got you this, Jennifer. Okay, so you have been doing this for a while, helping people, educating people, bringing, you know, awareness to this. How can someone reach you for additional information? Say, hey, Jennifer, you know, I kind of like what you had to say. I know you said you had a show. How can we reach out for more information, or how can they contact you if they suspect or who should they contact if they feel they have a mood disorder?
Well, if you feel like you have a mood disorder, contact a mental health professional and get in there and talk to them about it. Because even if you feel like you have one and you don't, if you feel like you have one, there's a good chance you should be talking to somebody just to help you through whatever it is you're going through. To get in touch with me, my show, I do it on Facebook. It's called Becoming Untethered. I have a different theme every month. This month was going to be the theme of surrender, but I am actually, right now I'm organizing an event that's about changing the world for the better. And that's kind of where all my energy is going. But most every other month, I'm on there and I talk about. I turn on the camera when I'm having a challenge, and I talk about how it feels. I talk about where I'm feeling it. I'm talking about how I'm reacting to it. I talk about how I can change my reaction to it. How I can reframe it. I get out there and talk about I talk about emotions. I just talk about things that people don't say because it's too vulnerable or whatever the case may be. I feel that it's important to say. I feel it's important for people to hear, like, oh, shit, sorry. I think that way. Like, that's how I think. You know, even people who don't have mood disorders have contacted me and said, you know, you make me feel like I'm not alone.
Right.
You have to know that other people are out there thinking this way. Other people are out there
and feeling the same way.
Yes. And if you were having trouble with it, then, and this person's doing something about it, then you too can do something about it.
Exactly. You know?
So that's sort of where I'm at. So you can find me on Facebook at Becoming Untethered. And then I'm also on, I've started putting stuff up on YouTube at Becoming Untethered One.
At Becoming Untethered?
Yeah.
On Facebook?
On Facebook.
Put that here. Becoming Untethered is all one word?
All one word. It's an homage to Michael Singer's The Untethered Soul, which is a great book. And I strongly recommend that for everybody if you have not read it. That's how I started on my journey when I realized that I wasn't my thoughts, I wasn't my feelings. That was where I got that. Like, wait, what?
I'm not. All this time I thought I was.
I'm not. I'm not my psyche. I'm not the things that I'm thinking and feeling. I'm the person. I'm the being observing those things.
That's a
and
great way to.
Once you realize that and you become more self-aware, that's the first step. Once you're becoming more self-aware and you're observing and you get to the point where you can objectively observe, you're not judging what you're seeing and what you're hearing, what you're feeling. You're just like, oh, that's what I'm feeling right now. Okay. That's what I'm thinking. Right. There was a thought. I didn't like that thought, but that was a thought I had, you know?
And I like that. I like to say, well, that's just what I was feeling at that moment. That's just Man, that's a whole nother thing right there, man. Don't get me started, Jen. Don't get me started.
It's a big thing.
Don't get me started. But I'm going to leave that for
you. Started, Travis.
Don't get me started with that one. Guys, listen, Jennifer, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you for being here again.
Thank you for bringing awareness to this topic. It's so.
Oh, are you kidding me, Jennifer? It's topics like this that if we bring more awareness to things like this, then a lot of things that we see that's going on, or we have a better way to explain them, and we won't have to kind of dismiss it. And a lot of times when we have mood disorders, it gets dismissed as somebody who's just an emotional person. And a lot of times it's just not the case.
If I can just say one thing, you mentioned that with the support system, like the basketball player that needs the fans, don't underestimate the power of a kind word. I can't tell you the number of, I mean, they're anecdotal, but the stories that I've heard where someone says something kind to someone and they come back to them and say, you know, I was thinking about killing myself. I was on my way to kill myself and that stopped me.
Wow.
So never, ever underestimate what a kind word to someone can do.
Please. Wow. And a lot of times, Jennifer, we look for the big thing, the big splash. Oh, I'll help. I need to do a big splash. I need to make a big splash. What you have to understand is, every splash begins with one drop.
Mm-hmm.
You may not need a bucket. You may not need a garden hose. All you may need is just one drop, one word, one good deed, one good something to help divert someone's mood, help divert how they're feeling for that day. Every big splash, in every big splash, there's still just one drop. Maybe that person doesn't need a splash. All they need is a drop. All they need, you know, just the reason why I named this show what I did, Tell Me Something Good, because maybe all they need to hear is something good.
At the very least. Like, I honestly cannot tell you how many, like, I have heard so many stories where just someone walking by a sign that says, you got this.
Yep.
Or don't give up. You know what I mean? Like, that alone you hear these stories where people are like, literally kill myself. I was done.
Yeah.
And the fact that you stopped me and asked me, you know, it made me feel like maybe I was worth asking about.
Absolutely.
You know, you can save a life with a kind word. So please be kind with your words and say the thing, say them. Just say them. Be nice.
Guys, listen, I told you at the beginning, this was going to be a good episode. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being part of the show. Guys, I know you want me to continue on, but I am not. Guys, and as always, it's been a real blast. Listen, don't forget to visit our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, you can stream right here each week, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, to listen to the show. Or you can stream it on your favorite listening platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, and so many more. Guys, we got to get out of here. But as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I gotta go. Peace.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone.
With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.